Marriott Bonvoy is the official hotel partner of US soccer. Join Marriott Bonvoy today to get closer to the game with exclusive perks, unforgettable experiences, and benefits that go beyond the pitch. Spring Hill Suites, part of Marriott Bonvoy, offers complimentary hot breakfast and spacious all-suite accommodations, perfect for the whole team, with room for up to 6 guests. Make your next getaway a win. Learn more at springhillsuites.marriott.com.
This isn't just a game, it's a once-in-a-generation event. The Harlem Globetrotters 100-year tour. Celebrate 100 years of high-flying dunks, 100 years of show-stopping moves, and 100 years of changing the game. Bring the whole family and be part of the legacy. This game is once in a century. Be there at Schottenstein Center on December 27th. Go to harlemglobetrotters.com for your tickets to the 100-year tour.
Ladies and gentlemen, please take your seats. The show is about to begin.
Welcome back to the one and only Cavs the Podcast, featuring commentary from all of your favorite Cavs the Blog bloggers. Now, sit back, relax, and enjoy.
Welcome to Cavs the Podcast. I'm Nate Smith, and I'm here with Chris Francis. And I don't think we've been on one of these in about a month, and it's been a bit of a roller coaster of a month, Chris.
Woohoo!
But the Cavs have won two straight or three straight? Three straight, I think.
Two.
Oh, you're right. With the wins over the Pacers and Clippers tonight. The Clippers came in at 5-9, and now they're 5-10. Kawhi Leonard did make his return for the Clippers, but was pretty quiet, with 20 points and 3 boards. Solid game, but very ho-hum.
Well, he bashed his knee too.
Oh yeah, he and John Collins. Yeah. I believe. Bang knees right at the end of the game in garbage time.
Yep.
Yeah.
Whoops.
Yeah. Donovan Mitchell played like an MVP again. Really, really solid night from him. 37 points, 8 rebounds, 6 assists, only 22 shots from the field, plus 26. Also, Evan Mobley, plus 26, 18 and 10. They definitely struggled to contain Zubac when Mobley was out. But one of the guys that was up to the task was our energy king, the minister of energy for the Cavs, Naquan Tomlin, with 12 points and a couple rebounds. But just he makes a lot of plays that don't show up in the stat sheet. Would you agree with that?
Oh yeah, I mean,
just keeping loose balls alive.
They do show up in the stat sheet too.
Yeah.
So
yeah, they do as well. Yeah, I mean, he had 3 stocks tonight, a dime. Like, yeah, he's just doing a little bit of everything in 21 minutes. So
he's awesome. I love how he's kind of parlayed his summer league, MVP season into some minutes. I think they probably should have put him in the mix a little bit sooner. Or at least honored that effort that he gave, over the summer. But it's happening now, and he's reaping the rewards.
Yeah, he's gotten a couple spot starts, and I think I would say that if the Cavs had not beaten the Pacers, I think there were some calls for some 4 alarm fires, and that game was competitive until late, and the Cavs kind of pulled away. But I like the execution. I think, one of the things clearly having Darius Garland back is huge for the Cavs. He definitely looks stronger. I said to my wife, I was like, Darius Garland looks like a man now. He's got a man's hair, a man's coif.
Does he? Well, at least the hair. Yeah, he did grow out the hair. He's still baby face.
Yeah, but I like what I've seen so far. One of the things that is huge for him is, or for the team, is that Donovan Mitchell doesn't have to worry about getting everybody involved at the beginning of the game anymore. And that takes some pressure off him, for sure. I think, I also liked the way Garland ran the 6 minute drill in the fourth quarter with the Cavs up by like 15 and just like rolling the ball down the court every time and just burning seconds. You know, he didn't have a great game, 8 points, 4 turnovers, but did have a nice fourth quarter, controlling the offense, and he had 8 assists, so he was moving the rock. We had no Lonzo Ball tonight. I think they're gonna probably swap them where they don't want Garland playing backs to backs and they don't want Ball playing back to backs. So it's a good fit now on those back to backs. You can just play one then the other. So, and Evan Mobley, I thought he had the best shot profile he's had in some time tonight. And I think a lot of it is that he's playing at center and not power forward. Do you think that's true?
I think it was a general thing more than him specific. Okay. I mean, it was obvious what they're trying to do with him. You know, they're it's November.
Yeah.
So, you know, let him launch whatever he wants to launch.
And get comfortable handing the ball in traffic.
Exactly. Yep. Yes. And play on the perimeter, you know, because that's how ultimately, I mean, why play him at the five? It's to play him on the perimeter and draw centers out of the paint.
Yep.
You know, so, and, you know, obviously today's strategy partly was just don't let Harden beat you. Who cares if Zubac goes off for 30 points, which he did? He's still not going to win you the game.
Sorry.
You know, even when he's going absolutely nuclear on us.
Yeah, it's so hard to win in the NBA without three-point shooting. And
exactly.
They're just dumping it into Zubac every time. And the Cavs with in the fourth quarter, they had double-digit lead most of the time. Kenny would experiment with lineups when Mobley was out and Zubac was just feasting. But the Cavs kind of always knew that they had that. You felt like Kenny wasn't going to let it to get to like closer than 8 before he put Mobley back in. I thought he managed the minutes really well. I mean, obviously, the Cavs really don't have a guy they can throw at Mobley. I think you had texted me. You were a little surprised we didn't see Thomas Bryant minutes there.
Yeah, that was curious because he did come into garbage time.
Yeah, I think it was just that's who the rotation was tonight, right? I mean, they had the game under control, right, in the second half. So
I think Kenny was experimenting.
I think he's been experimenting a ton in the early part of the season.
I think, you know, one of the lineups that I actually enjoyed seeing, I'm not sure, and it needs a lot more work. I mean, it needs a lot more game time to figure out if it's really effective or not. But I saw Garland with basically four wing switching bigs.
Yeah, it was like Travers, Wade.
Yep. Travers, Wade, Nance.
Hunter, and Nance. Yeah.
Yeah. Just, you know, I like that. That was a very intriguing lineup, you know, where you just to go tell, you tell either Donovan or Darius, like, take all the shots you want, do whatever, you know, you got the ball in your hands, everybody's going to cater to you, and you go make something happen for somebody else or yourself. Like, that's just a very, I think it's just an elegantly simple way of playing the game. And also covering up for his defensive deficiencies.
Well,
but also allowing him to exploit his offensive greatness.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, and it kind of gets back to what the Cavs defense has evolved into this year is they do have a lot more long wings than they have in the past, and they're very aggressive playing the ball. If you hold that ball out there, they're going to swat at it, right?
Sixth-ranked defense right now, which is a huge step up.
Well, and so much of that is the way they're playing, because they're playing 10 deep. They don't worry about fouling, right?
Yeah.
That they don't have to play this game where if a guy gets two fouls in the first quarter, they're totally hosed, because they play 10 deep all the time, and they pressure the ball. And tonight they had 10 steals.
There you go.
Yeah, I mean, they were really good pressuring the ball tonight. One of the things that was very nice about the way they played after a pretty turnover-filled first quarter, they had 6 turnovers in the first. They only had 6 the rest of the game. So they definitely cut down the turnovers. You know, the one guy that really kind of killed them was Zubac, and yeah, they just kept him contained, right?
Yeah, they even in spite of him going for 18 rebounds, they still out-rebounded the Clippers by one.
Yeah.
And you mentioned before, we shot 20 more threes and made more threes. You know, we made more than double of the threes, and, you know, it was a blowout, you know, or a handy win.
Yeah, and Mitchell was brilliant.
Yeah,
again,
Mitchell was awesome.
Like, just in complete control the entire time.
Yeah.
Like,
he's on a mission, baby.
Well, that and just 37 points in 32 minutes without, like, just in control the entire time. Like, it was very impressive.
I don't know. Did you see the post game?
No.
Oh, because he said the stat he was most proud of was the 2 turnovers.
Only 2, or?
Yeah.
Yeah. No, he was awesome. And I thought Garland was rusty, but I didn't see anything that bothered me. He was limping at a certain point in the first game, and that scared the shit out of me.
I think he's just doing that.
Yeah, he might have been
hamming it up.
Yeah, he might have been, but
faking the injury, or not faking the injury, but, you know, when you do something stupid or bad, you know, oh, I'm hurt. Oh,
Larry Nance even some decent minutes tonight.
So. Yeah, Nance is finally coming around. I think, you know what, I think maybe part of his crappy play at the beginning of the year was just a new team. You know, he hadn't played with the Cavs yet. So just finding his spots, and also I think playing him at the 5 helps.
Yeah.
Or you know, big position and roll big.
It actually gives him a matchup advantage on offense.
Yeah,
because most bigs don't want to come out that far.
Exactly.
And he plays that whole dribble handoff, high post pass game along with the...
He's a great passer in the on the roll, too.
Yeah, on the short roll, for sure.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So, I'm loving that. I'm starting to like it more. And also with that, when you can switch all 4 guys around Garland, I really like that.
Yeah.
It's something I wanted, and what I mean, I remember having a debate with
Marriott Bonvoy is the official hotel partner of US soccer. Join Marriott Bonvoy today to get closer to the game with exclusive perks, unforgettable experiences, and benefits that go beyond the pitch. Spring Hill Suites, part of Marriott Bonvoy, offers complimentary hot breakfast and spacious all suite accommodations, perfect for the whole team, with room for up to 6 guests. Make your next getaway a win. Learn more at springhillsuites.marriott.com.
This isn't just a game. It's a once-in-a-generation event. The Harlem Globetrotters 100-year tour. Celebrate 100 years of high-flying dunks, 100 years of show-stopping moves, and 100 years of changing the game. Bring the whole family and be part of the legacy. This game is once in a century. Be there at Schottenstein Center on December 27th. Go to HarlemGlobetrotters.com for your tickets to the 100-year tour.
Somebody on the board's last postseason, and they were arguing with me about perimeter defense. And it's like, who was the perimeter defender we relied upon in the playoffs? It was essentially our 2 best defenders were quite literally Dwayne D. Dean Wade and Evan Mobley.
Yeah.
Those were our two perimeter defenders that we had to count on.
Yeah.
That's not gonna work.
No. And
you know,
and
you need more.
Yeah. And Jalen Tyson was awesome tonight on D.
Yeah.
What I love about Jalen Tyson is he does what is needed. Like he really feels like a high talent glue guy, right?
Mm-hmm.
Really like the release on a shot. Hunter, as you noted, is passing a lot more. 17-4-4. Definitely not ball hogging as much. I thought he had a really nice shot chart tonight.
I want him to be a shooter, no doubt.
Oh, absolutely.
You know? Yeah, you know, like especially in the non-Mitchell lineups.
Oh yeah, but that's why I think he's so much better as a second team offensive hub, because his ISO game is so good, and he clearly loves playing mellow ball, Carmelo Anthony ball, right? Like, just clear out the whole side, let me go to work, shoot that pull up jump shot in your
face.
He
was looking, you know, I think that injury really screwed him over at the end of the, like, he was looking fantastic.
Yeah.
Like, he's another guy that kind of looks still a little buggy. You know, I don't think he's really hit his stride since he got the little knee, whatever happened in the preseason, and then something else happened too.
Yeah.
But him and Garland still buggy. Larry Nance maybe coming around. Dean Wade, shout out to Dean Wade.
I thought Luke Travers had a nice game tonight.
He, you know what? I didn't, you know, I thought I would hate his minutes, but the thing is that it doesn't matter on offense if you lock him down.
Yeah. Well, and he didn't turn the ball over.
Yep.
Right. Three steals.
Yep.
A couple boards, a good switchy defender, even hit a three off a pin down.
Yep. He fought Zubat. You know, he was one of the guys to.
He did fight Zubac and actually forced a miss on one.
Yeah. He tussles. So I like it.
Yeah. And
I think that's why they were experimenting. And that's why you mentioned, Bryant wasn't going to get the minutes, is because they really wanted to
see what Travers could give him.
Yeah. And also, I noticed in the post game with Mitchell, there was a concerted game plan to run.
Yeah. Well, they're the second slowest team in the NBA.
Yeah, exactly. And
they're
second
old.
Game off of back-to-back.
Yeah.
One of the oldest teams in the NBA. The game plan was run, no matter what.
Yeah.
And Travers can do that. And shout out to his defense, man. 15 minutes played, plus three. You take that all day from Luke Travers.
Yeah, and he did not look overwhelmed out there. He's starting to look like he's at the same strength and athleticism level as everybody else. I don't know if you saw his big play for the Charge, but the game-winning lob dunk.
No, I didn't. I missed that. I need to go visit Public Auditorium.
It was at the Cavs home opener. He hit a buzzer-beating lob dunk to win. It was pretty cool.
Nice.
Although I still had a little heartburn over buzzer beating lob dunks. So
yeah, I know. Hey, God, why'd you open that wound?
What game was that?
That was the first game against Miami.
Oh my gosh, yeah, that was rough. And let's kind of go back through the last couple weeks or so. But you know, we had 120-109 over the Pacers. The Pacers are, you know, they are who we thought they were. They, this is a reload year for them. They know it.
Yeah. They're still tough, though.
They are still tough.
Rick Carlisle. And
they still got Siakam. They still got Mathurin fouling the shit out of people.
Yep.
And then the team that probably scares me more than any team in the NBA right now is the Rockets. They're just a matchup nightmare for the Cavs. I mean, they're just all big, they're all strong, they're all tough. Sengun, nobody seems to understand how to play him on the Cavs. And
And I think part of the problem is the Cavs don't have enough. The Cavs are too nice to play it, to beat a team like the Rockets sometimes. And the Cavs got to get a little bit meaner.
Well, I think that's why you have a Tomlin getting minutes. Remember him and getting in that tussle?
Oh, yeah. He was great.
I think Jalen Tyson's that kind of dog, too.
Yeah.
Jason Tylen's got
that dog. He was pissing off. Who's Jabari Smith?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. He and Jabari Smith got into it.
I think Luke Travers got that dog in him, too.
Yeah, he does. Well, he's Australian. I mean, what are you going to do? Yeah. Yeah, no, it's been an interesting couple weeks. They beat the Bucks. Giannis got hurt. The Raptors seem to have their number this year. But they beat the Grizzlies. And then, you know, that second night against the Heat. I feel like the Cavs have definitely been up and down. That Heat game was a gut punch, right? The final in overtime. And then they came out and kind of whooped up on the Heat the next day. Like, the defense was much better.
Well, and what's funny about that game is the Cavs got fined $100,000.
Yeah.
For sitting out Mitchell and Mobley on that game, and we won it.
And they won it. They won it handily. That was the Naquan Tomlin breakout game.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it's what a joke. Silver for prison.
Oh, yeah, agreed. Like, yeah, Hunter had 21 points. Allen had 30 that game. Craig Porter Jr. was awesome that game.
Yeah, talk about, you know, I was really worried about Craig Porter Jr., but he has definitely delivered this year.
It's contract year.
Yeah, oh, is it? Yeah. Is it? Are you serious? Yeah.
Yes. You know it. I mean, he's just been a total disruptor on defense. That's been
fantastic.
They were. Did you read any of the stuff about the ball and Porter backcourt pressure they're putting on teams? There have been a couple articles about it, but yeah, I don't know if you saw against the Pacers where they just forced that one turnover right at the end of a quarter, off that inbound pressure.
2.6 DPP, defensive BPM
for
Craig Porter Jr.
Yeah, I'd love to see
Demon on defense.
Yeah, I'd love to see the two man lineup combo of him and Ball.
Yeah, we can do some.
We can maybe do some combos. Yeah, we might do that in the next segment. I like that idea. So what else we got on tap? Like, in terms of concern, are there any concerns you have around the Cavs right now?
Rebounding, of course.
Yeah.
It's the rebounding. I think. Also, secondarily, but not as much, but mainly just rebounding. I guess my only low-key concern is Mobley's confidence in his jumper.
Yeah.
He started off nice, kind of shied away. He's kind of shying away, and also his free throw shooting.
Yeah, his free throw stroke has been falling off a cliff.
Yeah, so there's no reason for this. You know what I mean? Like, this is ridiculous because his shot looked fine, has always looked pretty much fine. So I don't know what the hell is going on with it. But, we need him to be able to shoot threes. I don't buy the idea that he shouldn't be shooting threes. He should be he should be shooting from all areas of the court, essentially, in my mind.
Oh, I have zero problem with him shooting threes. There are certain threes I don't want him to take. He is not a good three-point shooter on the pull-up, right?
Yeah.
In the full court. In the half court, when he's turning and facing and he pulls up, less of an issue with it. But when he's on a dead run and tries to pull up, that's not a good shot for him.
Yeah.
He doesn't have those... He's not Mitchell that way, where he's just pure muscle and so compact that he can kind of muscle that ball up there and get his form while he's in the air. He doesn't have that yet, right? He needs to, catch and shoot, turn and face on an ISO, or those are the kind of threes he needs to hit, or just, pass and relocate, catch and shoot. I don't love the other ones.
Well, to me, it's all context dependent.
Yeah, for sure.
Because he's hit open pull-ups before, but he's got to be really open.
Yeah.
And it's got to be in rhythm.
Well, right, you know, because he doesn't have a lightning quick release. He has a decent release, but he's so long that he doesn't quite have the mechanics yet to just fire that up, you know, with very little time on a closeout, I guess I would say.
Yeah, it's just a weird, it's clear that when he misses, at least what I see when he misses at the free throw line, he's completely out of sync.
Yeah.
With his lower body. What happens is, as soon as he gets to the top of the shot, he hesitates, or he's got that hitch or whatever.
Yeah.
And it's like, you're trying to flick it up there with all wrist instead of using your base and then just, you know, letting it fall off your hand.
Well, so, and the other thing about him, and, you know, I think, Brad Daugherty talks about it a lot, and I've seen it on the national broadcast too, but he dips the ball so much when he shoots and he doesn't keep it high. So he gets stripped a lot around the basket. And that's part of the reason he has such a hard time getting that shot up and why his mechanics are a little slow, because he dips so much when he shoots and he doesn't just like catch it, you know, a shoulder height and then go up. He needs to really work on that. Would help his offensive game tremendously.
Yeah. Well, I saw
he doesn't win rebounds too.
I saw a tremendous. Well, tonight, if you noticed, what he did was he actually was making great decisions, in that situation in a crowded painted area.
Yeah,
he was dribbling out or passing out.
Yeah.
Instead he wasn't of forcing trying it to up. Get a shot yeah. off. Yeah, yeah, exactly. Or you know, or, you know, exactly. Or bringing the ball down. He was making sure that he was getting out of trouble every single time. So the more he, you know, I think he's making crimes of inexperience rather than, you know, not smart plays.
I think it's also a change in the role too. Cause like previous season, he was third, fourth, fifth option, right?
Yes.
With Donovan Mitchell out, and Max Strus out, he's the second option on offense a lot of plays, and the first option on more than a couple plays. And you're going to draw a lot more defense in those situations. Yeah. And I think he's just got to work his way through it, right?
Yep.
No way around but through.
Yeah, exactly. We're trying to make him a complete offensive player, and there's going to be growing pains with that. He's 24 years old, I guess, 24-year-old season, so... Yeah, it's just growing pains we're going to deal with. It's going to look ugly sometimes, but I'm liking that he's taking the challenge on. And his free throw rate is fantastic right now.
Yeah, the other thing is I'm actually enjoying the fact that they don't seem to get too high or too low around any loss or win. And I think that bodes well long-term for the season. That they clearly feel like they are managing the season a lot more than they were last year.
Yeah.
And you can tell, I can tell at least, by the way they're managing injuries. Like, you're seeing them almost wholesale rotate guys out. You know, Jared Allen probably could play with that finger, right?
Because he has played with that finger. I think the same is true of all the guys that are sitting out.
Except Strus, but yeah.
Yes, except Strus. Yes, exactly. Oh, yeah, but with Merrill and Porter Jr., you know, I absolutely I think...
Yeah, or what, Tyson what was out for a whole week, you know, with concussion.
Yeah, well, they held him out an extra day, I think, and he came back, and look at what he did. He hit his first five shots, he came in, so...
Yeah. No, he looked very good to me tonight.
I think we're sandbagging at least until January, February.
Well, but then, also they are doing something I would have loved to have seen them do for the past, you know, 15 years, is they are wholesale swapping guys out, not playing guys on back-to-backs that are injury prone. They're platooning guys, you know, it may be Larry Nance going to sit for, you know, a week and then we'll break him out every 8 days. Right.
Yeah.
Like you know what you've got in Larry Nance. You don't need to go. He needs the run to keep his legs, but he doesn't need to play, you know, four games in a week. right?
Yeah, I'm looking at the minutes right now. It's basically Mobley and Mitchell who are getting over 30 minutes a game. No one else is getting over 30 minutes a game.
Yeah. Yeah, and the other thing about the Cavs that not enough people talk about, that they've literally played as more games. I think the only team that has played more games, no team has played more than 18 games. There's three teams that have played 18 games, and they're one of them. And they'll be 19 tomorrow. Like, they've played as many, by the end of the day tomorrow, they'll have played as many games as any team in the NBA.
Yeah, it's brutal.
It's brutal, and
silver for prison.
Well, I think you'll see they're getting a nice break for Thanksgiving, which I appreciate. Also, after not having really gone anywhere, they're going to Toronto tomorrow, but that's just across the lake, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. And right. I hope
taking the ferry over.
Yeah, I hope I hope they play well tomorrow, because Toronto's kind of had their number this
year. That's a big game tomorrow.
Is that a cup game? That's not a cup game, is it? No, because they already lost their cup game to Toronto.
Oh, okay.
The last cup game is Friday against Atlanta, and I think they still have a shot at the at large. I think both those teams have a shot at the
Atlanta has been a surprise team with sans lollipop here.
Trey.
Yeah.
So Group C has the Bucks at 2-0 and Miami at 2-1. But Miami has a plus 46 point differential. Whereas the Cavs, their point differential with one loss is plus 33. So it'll be interesting to see how all that shakes out. Interesting is in something to talk about that doesn't mean anything, because I hate the NBA Cup. I think it's stupid.
I respect the Cup. Respect the Cup.
I don't respect the Cup. I'll tell you why when we come back. Do you like that segue?
Yeah, I do.
Now I can figure out how to turn off the damn mic.
This is Michael Rosenbaum. Hey, folks, let me tell you that drinking and driving is a decision that will change your whole world. Things will never be the same once you get a DUI, because legal fees and time in court are just the beginning. Getting into a crash is another way your world could be irreversibly changed after drinking and driving. Your vehicle may not be the only thing that gets damaged in that crash. You could face a life-altering injury or even death. But you're not the only one who could face those consequences. Your decision to drink and drive could permanently change someone else's world, whether you injure them or leave their loved ones grieving. The next time you're out drinking, call a rideshare, a taxi, a sober friend, or a designated sober driver. Always plan for a safe ride home. The only decision that will change your world for the better is the decision to call for a sober ride. It's never worth it to drive drunk. Don't risk it. Drive sober or get pulled over. Paid for by NHTSA.
Welcome back to Cavs Podcast. Nate Smith, Chris Francis. Chris is going to hit us with a little PBP stats.
shout out to them.
Adam Silver be damned, who apparently doesn't like the PBP stats.
That's right. So
PBP being play-by-play.
Sorry. That's right. I pulled up, you mentioned the Lonzo Ball-Craig Porter Jr. combo. So what's interesting with the two of them is that they're actually juicing the offense.
Oh, yeah. Well, steals juice the offense, too.
There you go.
Live ball turnovers are huge.
Yeah, the combo is shooting. The team shoots nearly 60% in two-point range when they're on the floor.
Wow.
They are actually better defensively when they're off the court by barely. about a little over a point per 100.
Yeah, but what's a steals rate? Can you look that up?
No, it does not give me the steals
rate. To me, I think what they are doing is playing a lot more high-risk, high-reward defense, high-pressure defense, where, you know, you may – the defensive numbers may not look great in the aggregate, but those live ball turnovers, like you said, juice the offense.
Yeah, they're creating obviously a lot of great two-point shot is definitely the lesson I'm taking from that.
Yeah.
Let's try the NBA. MLB.com website. We'll see if they may give me... Oh, they do not give me steals. Damn it. Damn you, Silver.
So what's been some of your favorite lineups you've seen this year so far?
That's a good question. I mean, my favorite lineup to begin with was Hunter in the starting lineup, you know?
Yeah.
With the two bigs. I just...
Oh, I love it. And then when they go Tyson at the two...
Even better. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, they go real big. Yeah, I like Tyson at the two more than Merrill.
I don't know if I go that far.
In stretches, right? Depends on the matchup.
It kind of depends. Yeah. It kind of depends on... Yeah, it depends on who you want to guard. It depends on who the opponent is, definitely, because you're going to want Tyson in some situations if it's an athletic perimeter player he's got to defend versus... let's not discount Sam Iam's defense.
No, not at all. I think he does get hunted sometimes on defense.
He doesn't mix well with Hunter on the perimeter on defense. What? Mitchell. That's what I think the problem is. Yeah. That
who doesn't?
Is pretty bad. Merrill doesn't mix with Hunter
on the perimeter. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, and I got into it a little bit with somebody from a historical Cavs blog that they said.
Starting fights on the internet, Nate.
I was like, I said that Merrill was a better defender than Hunter. And I had, 5 years worth of stats to back it up because all the on-off impact stats, like, estimated plus minus and stuff like that, are all like, yes, Merrill is a much better team defender than Hunter. Like the Cavs, it's a couple points. It's about, I think he was like a 0.7 plus 0.7, whereas Hunter was like a minus negative one for 100 possessions. So it's, that's significant. There's definitely an
those
impact.
Have kind of so I'm looking at them now. Those have kind of
I'm out. Saying historically.
Yeah.
This year, yeah. But I think Hunter's problem has always been shit giving. Like he had some horrific defensive games early in this season. Like
I don't even think it's shit giving. I think he's just soft.
Well,
he's not a rebounder.
Yeah, I mean, it's all of the above, right? That's just not his mindset. Never has been. He thinks of himself as an ISO scorer, right?
I don't know if that's always been his mindset, because he was great in Virginia.
Agreed.
Defender.
This is literally the argument I had with the person from...
I'm glad we could role play it for you again.
Yeah, exactly. And it's like, yeah, he was a ACC Defense Player of the Year at Virginia, I believe. Was it ACC or SEC?
Yeah, ACC. Yeah, he won a championship with Virginia.
Yeah, no, he's a very good player. The problem is Jaime Vasquez lit him up that first game. Like, just, and it wasn't like Jaime Vasquez was playing this great offensive game. It was like, literally just sit on his right hand, dude. It drives me nuts how when guys forget the scouting report. Right.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. That's Gundy was saying the other Gundy was saying.
Yeah. Stan the man.
Stan the man. Yeah. No, totally hate that. It's just like just watch him dribble, for God's sake.
It's like when you
figure out which hand he is.
Just well. And then there's some guys that are so one hand dominant. Like Mitchell is not a one hand dominant player. Like he can finish with either hand. And one of the other amazing things about Mitchell is he can finish with either hand off either leg, which is like, Darius Garland and Kyrie Irving territory. But
yeah, he's great.
What'd you say?
I said, yeah, he's great.
Yeah, but, there's guys like RJ Barrett. It's like you get him going on a drive to the right hand, they're always going to want to come back to the left. Never fall for the crossover back to the weak hand. Make him go to the weak hand and beat you two or three times before you fall for it, right?
Yeah.
I mean, that's what drives
Barrett's,
you nuts.
Barrett's left-handed, so.
Well, yeah, that's what I was saying.
Okay. Oh, okay.
But I said the weak hand, not the right hand.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, no, Barrett's the same way. He just can't go right at all, right?
Yeah, neither can, that's why I don't like
Neither Simone. Can Harden.
Yeah, I don't like Saboner either for that reason.
Well, Harden can go right. He just is so much better left. But
yeah.
Usually when he goes right, he tries to flop.
Well, what I saw today was...
they were disciplined.
When we committed to stay on his left hand, what he did was he took the drive. He took the driving angle, but it forced the pass.
Right.
He didn't
or the I'm going to run into somebody and fall down.
Yeah. Mitchell got ripped off on that one foul call. We got a couple terrible foul calls.
Oh yeah,
Get it together, Bill Kennedy.
Yeah. Yeah, that was a weird game. Officiating wise, like I saw a call I've never seen before where they challenged the 3-point foul against Wade and they ended up calling it a successful challenge but a loose ball foul after the ball was gone. Like, I've never seen that before. That was crazy. So, I mean, I honestly thought it was the right call on the replay, but it was goofy.
You mentioned the lineups that I love. So I love the Hunter. I love what should have been the starting lineup to begin the year, which was Garland, Mobley, Allen, Mitchell, and Hunter. You want to take a stab at their net rating?
Plus 20.
Plus 55.
Well, that is that good?
I don't know.
How many minutes have they played?
Third most out of all combinations. 23 minutes.
Interesting. No, I think that...
And they have no problem rebounding, interestingly enough.
Well, yeah, that is interesting. I mean, that's a really small sample size still. But
yeah.
Yeah. I think that should be their best lineup, right? Like, they have outstanding shooting at three positions.
Yep.
And then they have very good size at three positions. And then they have they should have plenty of offensive presence, you know.
Yeah. Very interesting. Backup lineup is hit. So what the numbers are showing, at least with the five-man data, is the guys that are consistently showing up are interesting. It's Tyson.
Yeah.
It's Lonzo Ball, Jared Allen, Mobley. It's basically
Well, and I find Ball so hilarious because this is how good of a passer and, orchestrator Ball is. He literally can't get his own shot other than a pull-up three. That's literally the only shot he has in his bag.
I know. His stats are pretty bad individually, aren't they?
I know, great. But they're great when he's on the floor because he makes everybody else better. Like, he has no drive game at all other than to pass.
Yeah.
It's so funny. Like,
he rebounds the hell out of the ball, though.
No, he does, which is kind of crazy.
Yeah. No, he's rebounding the hell out of the ball. He's turning it. He's a turnover. He's basically got Draymond Green stats.
No, that is actually really accurate. That he's kind of the more point guard version of Draymond.
Yeah.
Like, less power forward and more point guard. But yeah, he can guard 1 through 4, right? He's really good at playing the passing lanes.
Yep.
He'll shoot enough to keep a defense honest, even though he's not going to scare you.
Yeah, or he'll move the ball to the ball in a good way. Yeah.
Yeah.
He's definitely I think one of the things I see with him is that he actually is, I think he was the one that was getting Jared Allen shots that he needed.
Yeah, and the other thing is multiple national TV games have said how fast he turns the court over. Like, he just, there's a pop when he gets the ball
making the look ahead pass.
Yeah, or
he
just
never fails at that.
Or pushing the ball and creating positive pressure for the offense, right?
Yep. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, that's the thing is, like, if you push the ball, you force the defense to declare matchups.
Yeah.
And guess where the mismatches happen?
Around the basket?
I mean, everywhere, just open your eyes and see where the odd matchup is. And he's smart enough to push the ball, get the defense to declare their matchups, and then get the ball to the guy who needs it.
Yeah.
It's, you know, it's not brain, you know, it's not rocket science, but apparently it's hard for a lot of guys to execute. But for Ball, he does it naturally. Oh my God. There was, the funniest clip. So I don't know what podcast it was or whose podcast it was, but Ball was on a podcast of somebody's and they tried to bait him with like a question. And it was a funny caption. It was just like, you know, when the homies are like wilding out on you and you've got to give a you've got to give an answer to a question that sounds like you're getting interviewed by CNN. Now, just like, that's how you know Ball is the smart Ball and also the one that's actually he's the one with something to lose out of the Ball family because he has a chance to win a ring with us. So I like that he's locked in. He's totally locked in.
He does seem locked in. Yeah. And you mentioned the other guy that he has exceeded all my expectations, and that's Jalen Tyson. Like, let's just talk Jalen Tyson numbers for a minute. Per 100 possessions, he is shooting 8.3 three-point attempts. And hitting those at a 47% clip. His true
he couldn't shoot.
His true shooting percentage right now is 66.
Yeah.
Is that good?
That's not bad.
In 20 games, his box plus minus went from negative 2.7 last year to positive 2.1 this year.
Third highest on the team.
Yeah, no, he's been phenomenal.
Yeah. What a pick. I knew the pick was. See, the thing about him was, he was the alpha at California. You know, he was the go-to guy there.
And but not everybody makes that transition, right?
Exactly. That's the point. That is the point. Is that he has the humility and the intelligence to change and morph his game in the NBA to suit what the team needs.
In a very short amount of time. A lot of guys don't get that until like the end of their rookie year.
Exactly.
Rookie deal, I mean.
Credit to Kobe. Thank you for getting a guy who's used to being the guy. He's not afraid to take the three-pointer.
Yeah.
He's not afraid to take the clutch three-pointer because he's been in that situation before.
Yeah.
So that's what drove me. I mean, that's why Okoro's never going to work.
No, he's not that guy. Jalen Tyson is everything we wanted Okoro to be.
Exactly. But Okoro could never be that because he was never a number one option.
Yeah. Yeah.
Except for that one 30-point game he had. That was the one.
His rookie year.
We'll always have that game, right? always have that game.
Now I got to go look up and see what Okoro's doing this year because...
Oh, God, man. I feel so bad for my Bulls fan.
Is it that bad?
Man.
What are we at here? We are at...
He's not even playing that bad. It's just that he ruins everything.
Fine. He's 8.2 points... God, 2.7 rebounds in 25 minutes a night is pathetic. And then
he's a lineup killer is what he is.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, my God. His box plus minus is negative 4.2.
Yeah.
Oof.
And he's starting. That's what's driving my friends insane is like he's getting starters minutes and just an atrocity.
And tanking every lineup he's in.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yep.
Well, he's – yeah. And that's – I'm so glad he's gone.
Yeah.
And that we have Jalen Tyson instead.
Yeah. I'm sorry to do that to you, Okoro, but seriously.
The game is the game.
The game is the game.
The numbers don't lie.
That's right. And it's about winning.
Yeah.
You want to win, you need good players.
What have you thought of Proctor so far? I've been very pleased.
I've been surprised. He's a rookie. And going through the rookie growing pains.
Oh, absolutely.
I like his, you know, we talked about this even in the preseason or whatever when we got our first looks at him. The best thing about him is that even if he's playing like crap, it rarely looks like he's panicking or that it's just the moment's overwhelming him. He's just bad because he's a rookie. He's not bad because he's just floundering.
Oh, absolutely. Know? And his his numbers aren't terrible. They're not great, but they're not terrible, right? And they're certainly fine for a rookie, right?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't. They're whatever. I think the main thing is just, you know, they're not great, but I think just the main thing is just the mentality.
Oh,
and also here's the thing is that this is why I say they're sandbagging is because getting him minutes now, getting him consistent minutes throughout the season, he's going to. I think this is what puts him on a trajectory to possibly pop at the end of the year.
Yeah, or have the path Tyson did where he had solid rookie season, like nothing eye-popping, but definitely part of the culture, bought into the team, had some moments, you know, and now Tyson's looking amazing. Yep. So, and he'll have his slumps for sure, but like one of the things I love about Tyson is his jump shot is very solid. You know who his jump shot reminds me of? Derek White. Very high, very, like, it's a hard-to-block jump shot. He's got a good form. There's some athleticism in his jump shot where he gets some legs under it. I like the way he shoots from the wing and from the corner. Like, it's not like I'm barely getting it up over the rim, right?
No, he's a strong boy.
Yeah, he's strong. He shoots the way Hunter does. Hunter has a very strong, high arcing shot as well.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah, I was in love with the Tyson pick. I'm glad to be vindicated.
Yeah, no, he's looked great, and Okoro's looked awful.
Yeah. So.
And like you said, his numbers aren't even that bad. He's not a guy that does really anything.
He just doesn't know how to play basketball.
Yeah, he's very non-instinctive, especially on the offensive end.
Yep.
And even on the defensive end, for as good as quote-unquote he is as a defender, his stocks numbers have always been very pedestrian.
Yeah.
And the problem with that is you can do that if you rebound, but he doesn't rebound either.
Yep. Yeah, he needed to at least rebound. It doesn't do that. And I think the stocks thing speaks to instincts as well.
Oh, 100%. I mean, stocks have always been one of the biggest predictors of NBA success.
Yeah. So, yeah, it's unfortunate. I mean, that's the whole thing is that, you know, guys don't really change. You know, once you're, you know, that's the secret is the outliers are the Kawhi Leonards or the Giannises of the world. They're them for a reason, and it's because they were one of one generational guys. Yeah. You know,
Donovan Mitchell.
Yeah, like, Donovan Mitchell.
There's
right.
hardly anybody like Donovan Mitchell. The only comp, and he's a much better shooter, but body type, the only comp I can think of is Dwayne Wade.
Yeah.
And he's a little shorter than Dwayne Wade, but he's a much better shooter than Dwayne Wade was.
Exactly. Yeah. So, well, and it's like going and the thing about Donovan Mitchell was that was not his profile in college.
No,
his profile in college was defensive stopper.
Yeah,
he was like a point guard mini Jimmy Jimmy Butler. You know, I can't even say it. Mini Jimmy.
Yeah.
And he grew into an offensive juggernaut. You know, in the NBA.
Yeah.
So, but guys rarely make that transition of just like wholesale changing your game.
Yeah. Well, we will be right back and we'll talk a little bit about the other guys on the roster and what we want to see in the next couple of weeks and just what we're seeing around the NBA right now. And then maybe, you know, a couple of things we're thankful for. Welcome back to Cavs the Podcast. Nate Smith, Chris Francis. Hit us with another lineup there, Chris.
There you go. Okay, this one's for you, Nate, because it was for our buddy Sam I Am. Donovan Mitchell, Sam Merrill, Jalen Tyson, Evan Mobley, Jared Allen. What you think they're doing?
I think they're defending very well.
They are.
And I think there is enough shooting on that lineup that there's enough space for the bigs to operate.
You are correct again. It is an offensive juggernaut. 155 offensive rating.
Wow.
92 defensive rating.
Nice.
83. Wow. Their rebounding percentage is nearly 60% as well.
That's awesome.
With almost a 90% true shooting percentage.
That's awesome. So I'm a little bit interested. What's your take on Jared Allen so far this year?
I think he's been good. I think he's not. I think the thing about him is that the inconsistency has been mainly as a result of the lack of passing that Garland provides.
Yeah.
And also just the fact that Garland gets him so many easy shots. But yeah. Overall, I think he's had his moments where he sucked. But, you know, I think part of that was because he was not getting the ball and not engaged in anything. You know, yeah. You have to keep him engaged to keep him.
I think part of Jared Allen's problem is he's a little too nice.
That's always his bit. Although he remember he.
Oh my God! He
remember what he did to the Ron Holland.
Was it Ron Holland? Oh no, I was thinking the Jay Huff against the Pacers, where he went up and like was it Jay Huff that he threw it into the hoop from like a foot above it, from like 8 feet away or whatever. Like,
Wait, I don't think it was that was no. He did that to Sengun.
Sengun, that's right, and just clocked him in the face.
Yeah, that
and it was such
awesome.
A bullshit call too, because literally Sengun's moving. He's a foot above his head.
Yeah,
and what the hell is he supposed to do? That's where he just threw his face into his elbow. But I love the play.
Yeah, no, I liked Sengun writhing in pain like a little bitch on the floor.
Oh my God, he's such a little bitch.
I know. What is so funny, he wants to be a goon, but he's a flopper too.
Yeah.
A little punk flopper.
Yeah, and everybody says that Jokic is his hero, and I never saw Jokic be the flopper like that.
Well, they had a flop off in the last... Did you see the game? They played each other...
Yeah, I guess I
last night or
I did.
They had a little flop.
Yeah,
but at least Jokic sunned him. So yeah. They lost the game because of Sengun. So
yeah, well, and the other thing about that Houston game was like it was kind of a scheduling loss too, because the Cavs were they on the back end of a back to back?
No, they weren't. They were. First game back, yeah. I mean,
but they
have
played
the game advantage. Yeah,
yeah, as Kenny had said, they played 15 games in 27 nights. Yeah. Like, and then, and I think the Rockets were off a couple days rest, so it was kind of like.
Well, and also, I mean, Rockets, like you said before, they're a contender.
Yeah, and they're a matchup problem for the Cavs. The Cavs don't match up well with them, especially without Garland. Because they don't really, without Garland, they don't have enough shooting and enough creation off the dribble to move that defense
for it to matter. Well, and also Sam was off that game.
I think absolutely.
Extremely useful against that.
Well, and Tyson.
Yeah, and Tyson. Right. Like,
there's so much shooting they did not have.
Struess. That's the whole thing. We don't even have Struess.
Yeah. And. Oh my God! When Struess comes back, their top eight is going to be lethal.
Yeah, I cannot wait. It's just God. I just need all the guys to be healthy at once.
Yeah,
in January and February, March.
Absolutely.
That's the goal. It's going to be so awesome because then you have so many interchangeable parts. You know.
Yeah. Well, and the other thing is you don't have guys trying to do too much. A lot of their losses early in the season have been guys trying to do too much, like Hunter, you know, just, I got to score 40, but I'm never going to pass. Or,
Mitchell having to drive into a clogged paint.
Yeah, or Merrill just shooting with three guys on him, right?
Yeah.
And just going in Fuego sometimes, but sometimes he's not going to go in Fuego, right?
Yep.
So, yeah, it's, I have liked the way they've managed early in the season. I think there's been a lot of grumbling. I know, shout out to Eli, who seems to want to trade half the team every time the Cavs have a bad quarter.
Hilarious, man. Hey, at least he cares.
He does, yeah. And it's hard not to love the dude, right?
That's the thing is that we can reframe the narrative because what it is that if people care this much and are losing their shit this much at what's happening now,
yeah,
that means the NBA is doing fantastic in Cleveland.
One of the things I have really enjoyed, I think the Peacock broadcasts have been really good.
Yeah, no, I mean,
they get the sound right. The sound levels are good. Everything pops on screen.
It's on national TV.
Yeah, well, no, I mean, it's so they don't shit on the game. So many of these
Amazon. Well, and also I think people love the Amazon.
Well, yeah, isn't that Kevin Harlan?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah,
yeah.
The Amazon.
Is that where
Peacock
Dirk is at too?
Huh?
Is that where Dirk is at too?
I don't remember. I'm not as invested in the studio and halftime shows.
Well, yeah, I don't care. Yeah.
I mean, but the little bit I've caught, it's like they're not just shitting on the dudes. And that's kind of what I hated about what the ESPN and TNT coverage devolved into, especially Kendrick Perkins. Kendrick Perkins is like my least favorite. Like, he's just.
It's funny how it's him. It's. Shaq, cannot stand Shaq. Oh my
God. Oh my God. Talk about a guy who just doesn't even try.
Yeah.
Here's
the thing about Perkins. What's funny about Perkins is that he's clearly doing a bit on the ESPN shows because I see him on, I watch him on PTI occasionally in every blue moon, and he's fine there.
Yeah.
You know, he's actually serious and also thoughtful. But he's doing this stupid gimmick whenever he's on the Showtime or whatever, and it's just awful. And you have no credibility when you're a bum. Career bum.
Yeah. I will say that the hard thing has been finding the actual games.
Yeah.
Has been difficult. And I own most of those channels, although my Peacock subscription is ending. Because I got it for Black Friday last year. It was $20 for the year, right? That's what you got to do. You got to wait until they put it on sale.
Yeah, no, you're right. That's a great strategy.
Yeah.
Yeah. Screw these. I cannot stand the apps. I'm sorry.
I agree with you. Like, we literally have Northeast Ohio TV for the Guards and Cavs. Sorry.
Yeah.
I smell burnt toast. But yeah, I mean, and the Cavs broadcast does a nice job. That I do feel like they've kind of cheaped out on the studio show, and like it's like I feel like the production values just keep slowly ticking downhill. But
well, I need more Austin Carr. I need more Mr. Cavalier. Let him tweet again. Let him tweet again.
Free AC.
Cowards.
Free AC.
You cowards. Yes, free AC.
Well,
cowards.
Maybe he doesn't want to tweet.
No, they cancel him because he tweeted it, impeach Trump now.
Oh, good.
Free speech. Ever heard of it, FanDuel?
Oh, man. Yeah, I have enjoyed, like, what do they let him broadcast, like, one out of every 10 games, feels like?
Yeah, he's finally they're
no, it's good. It's perfect. He can't do it every game.
No, he can't do it every game.
But I still enjoy. I still get it up in my feels when he's on the broadcast.
Absolutely. He just brings the energy and the excitement. Talk about a positive guy, you know what I mean?
Absolutely. Oh, if there's anybody in NBA history that might have a claim to be bitter, it's he was probably the greatest college player ever. I mean, he's in the argument with Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, right? of the greatest college player ever, and his health has never cooperated in the NBA. And if he'd have been born 30 years later, he probably would have been a multi-time first team all NBA player.
Yeah. You know what's funny is I bet, you know, I'm thinking that his game is probably like Donovan Mitchell.
Oh yeah.
He must love Mitchell.
Oh, I'm sure he does. Yeah. And this team is hard not to love. I mean, that's the other thing about this team. Like, the closest thing to a guy you could dislike is DeAndre Hunter. Just kind of drives me nuts sometimes. But Mitchell holds it all together and he runs a tight ship.
No, right? For me, sadly, it's Garland. I need him to show up clutch. I went so hard for him, and he's disappointed me every playoffs. Come on, man.
Well, I just hope he can stay healthy. That's the big thing, is just everybody get to the end of the season healthy. Yeah. And I think that's the plan, right?
Oh, absolutely. They're sandbagged. They don't care about the regular
season. Oh, no. The only guy who's...
Well, they care to it to the extent of getting into the top six. I think that's the only thing they care about is getting into the top six.
For sure. And then, of course, the other, component of that is who's leading the East right now?
Detroit.
Yeah. So, and I think they're, I haven't seen their minutes loads. But I have to think that they're...
JB special?
Yeah. I have to think I've seen this movie before.
Well, no. I mean, well, here's the... I think the thing with JB is that, yeah, I'm sure he's pulling his JB thing, but Durin.
Oh, Jalen Durin. No, that guy is exploding, legit.
Man. Wow.
No, that guy's legit. And honestly, I think... I'm not quite sure why they decided that. Well, I am quite sure because nobody wants to sign with Detroit, and you saw it. Tim Hardaway Jr. didn't want to be there. Dennis Schroeder didn't want to be there, and so they went and got Duncan Robinson, and that was a guy they needed, honestly. And of course, now everybody's like, they got that big Tobias Harris expiring contract. They're going to try and bring somebody in. Did you hear the Anthony Davis rumor?
What?
Yeah, they're interested in Anthony Davis. Yeah. That'd be a little scary.
No.
When healthy.
I hope they make that move.
Oh, me too.
Destroy their team.
Yeah, no, he's a cancer, but yeah.
Did you see the little pictures of him? Oh, like, apparently he's overweight and fat now.
Attracts.
So that's what's funny is that you dumped Luca because he was an alcoholic, beer bellied mother, and you got AD who's like sign and retire contract.
Oh yeah. Yeah, it's so funny. Well, no, and
well
and
done, Nico.
Here's the guy that has proved us correct. The player who is being used appropriately by his coaching staff is Javonte Green.
Oh, wait, is he in Detroit?
He is in Detroit.
Oh, that bastard.
Averaging the second highest points of his career at 8.1. And hey, but good for him, right? Like,
yeah, no, I mean, he was, to me, that's who I think Okoro should have been. Javonte Green, if he was actually good.
Yeah, but Javonte Green, he's putting up a solid net rating. He's rebounding. His rebound rate is pretty solid.
That's the thing about him is he can rebound.
Yeah, his rebound rate has dipped this year, but statistically it's not bad. And actually last year's rebound rate was decent. So
yeah. He should have played more.
Oh
I don't understand.
I don't either, but I'm not going to relitigate the past.
Exactly.
But it's not like they've been absolutely killing the minutes. It's been, Cade's getting 36, which honestly for his age isn't crazy, right?
Yeah, it's borderline, though, because of his injury history.
Fair. And then they got Duncan Robinson at 32 and, you know, Jalen Duren at 29. So,
well, yeah, know what? You know, that's what's funny is you could see that JB has definitely evolved in Detroit offensively.
Yeah.
Because the offense they were running in Detroit, even last year, looked nothing like what they were running with the Cavs. So he, you know, kudos to him for learning a thing or two.
Yeah.
And adapting. My thing with, but we've seen this movie before.
Oh, absolutely.
So he's a regular season merchant.
Hey, and there's nothing wrong with it, but that's not what we're after right now, right?
Hell no. No, this is the year, man. They should be embracing all the smoke, all the expectations.
Yeah.
This is the year. You could tell that's what Mitchell's attitude is. That's why he's playing as well as he's playing, is because that's the expectation. Now we have some battle scars, too.
Yeah.
You know, bounced out of the second round twice, embarrassed the first two times with JB. So it's time. This is year five.
The NBA so far has been pretty interesting. If we just look around the standings, you know, we got Detroit, Toronto. Definitely Toronto's been surprising teams.
Mm-hmm.
But on paper, it makes sense. Like, they have, I think, quickly, he was hurt a lot last year. And they're definitely a better team when he's healthy. Like, he's kind of an underrated player at this point, I feel like. And, of course, they've got...
Nah, he's not paid like an underrated player.
Well, yeah, but they've got Scotty Barnes, and they've got...
I'll tell you what, that coach, whoever the coach is...
Oh, there, yeah. Radovich.
Well, and that's what I was going to say about the minutes, is the Euro style of minutes distribution is really taken over the NBA.
Oh, it has, especially in the regular season.
Yep.
Well, and I think it kind of has to.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. What did they say? There was like 200 games missed by the Stars so far, like already early in the season. But I think, yeah, the minutes, the athletic toll that the game takes now, it's like the fact that Indiana, the last two seasons, had three guys 25 and under blow their Achilles. Is pretty damning for the NBA.
I've heard rumors that they may actually shorten the season.
I think they have to. I think
it'd
they
be
have
wild
to.
If they actually did.
I think it would be so helpful to get rid of back to backs. But the other thing is I think guys are overtraining, and the game is so fast now. One of the things I'm curious about is how much creatine guys are doing, too, because I'm wondering if they're just completely wearing out their muscles, because it's all these soft tissue injuries.
They're all juicing.
Well, yeah, I mean, creatine is a legal, quote unquote, supplement. So, but yeah, I mean, there's been some really interesting stories. The Heat have been much better than they advertised. They absolutely swindled the Clippers with that Norman Powell trade.
Norman Powell was holding up that whole fraud operation out.
He really was. It's kind of hilarious, and it could not happen to a schmuckier bunch of assholes than the LA Clippers.
100%. Go plant some trees, Kawhi.
Exactly. You got Atlanta, a surprise, as you noted. They're already talking about flipping Trey for Ja, which I think would be hilarious. I don't think you want Ja Morant in Atlanta. I think I don't know if he would ever leave Magic City. Anyway, the Bulls have kind of fallen back a little bit. They're 9-7.
I don't know. I could use another Magic City trial.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. The Knicks are kind of what they thought they were. The Knicks are like the Cavs. They are.
Yeah, they're sandbagging too.
They're, right, but they have played three fewer games, right?
That's OG's injured too.
Yeah. He? Yeah. And
but that could be sandbagging.
Talk about another guy holding the team. And Hart has been out a ton. He's got a pretty serious injury, doesn't he?
I don't think so. I think they're all sandbagging.
Yeah.
Too.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then, of course,
no way they care about anything in the regular season.
No. No, but the team that should is Orlando, and they've definitely.
They're coming around.
Are they?
They're coming around. They've got a problem, though. Apparently, Paolo's kind of been stinking up the joint and the turd in the punch bowl there. And now they're playing well since he's been out.
So he's kind of gotten the disease of Moore, syndrome.
He's the odd man out right now. Right now, the big three there is Franz, Jalen Suggs,
and Bane.
And Bane. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, Bane and Suggs is a really that is a beefy defensive backcourt.
Yeah,
they'll beat you up.
I'm glad that I finally got vindicated about having Suggs so high on my draft board all those years ago.
Yeah. And then, of course, Milwaukee, which they're 8-9. Giannis is still hurt, I believe. They're in trouble.
Yeah. You look at the East.
Yeah. The East has got good teams in it.
Better than the West, baby.
It is better than the West. You got... The top 10 is all winning teams. Out West, you've got two losing teams in the top 10.
Yeah.
Of course.
It's top heavy.
Of course, you've got OKC, who doesn't look even beatable right now.
And they're going to get they have the Clippers pick, too.
Yeah, that's insane. The Clippers are going to have to blow that team up.
Yeah, what they need to do is sell high on Harden right now.
Yeah. Yeah. And then, yeah. And LA is very interesting. They've been winning a lot without LeBron. They actually put together a decent roster out there.
You know, well, so. No, it's JJ Redick's a coaching genius, sadly. The Duke. The Brotherhood.
Well, I also think that Luka Doncic maybe have something to do with how good they are.
They got a bunch of bums, though, around him. Sorry.
It doesn't matter.
They're vaporware.
Well, sure, but they gave him a legit vertical threat in Ayton. Somebody who kind of needs to get to a spot where he's got to rehabilitate his career, right? Get that next paycheck, and then he'll retire. And they
what's funny about Ayton is I do a little bit where I do like I kind of actually feel bad for him and I support him, but they've been awful with him.
Oh, I agreed, but he at least gives them a vertical threat, right? Yeah, and Jackson Hayes is kind of more that, but
well, moving Jackson Hayes to the bench is probably a good thing.
Yeah, no, I mean, yeah, and honestly, LaRavia has been. Actually,
I know that's
good.
The real steal.
Damn. Yeah, he's been pretty good. Don't let Eli hear this podcast.
Exactly.
Although I knew he was like, oh, I got the Cavs going against two Demon Deacons tonight with Paul and.
I don't understand why he didn't like him.
Who?
LaRavia. Why didn't Eli like LaRavia?
He did like LaRavia.
Oh, he did? Okay.
Yeah, he always talks about LaRavia.
Yeah, we should have drafted him when he had the chance.
Who did they take instead?
I think they took Agbaji.
Oh, well, yeah. But they traded it for Mitchell, so
yeah,
you let it go, right?
No, of course. But yeah.
Well, the other guy was Tari Eason that year.
Oh, man.
Tari Eason, God, how good would he be on this team? Yeah, but honestly, that's kind of what... Naquan Tomlin, from a game perspective, reminds me a lot of that.
Honestly, when you put it that way, and I think Naquan Tomlin is less of a makes less bonehead plays.
Well, I think he's got higher upside too.
True.
Like he's really for the fact that he didn't play organized ball until he was like 18. Like he has really good instincts, and I think he's got a big ceiling, right? There's so much he could improve about his game, but it's the energy and the athleticism and the hustle, and he's got really good defensive instincts. You know, I've been very impressed with him.
6'9", runs like the wind, and has got go-go gadget arms.
Yeah, and can jump out of the gym. Yeah. But there's a lot of guys who have that can't play basketball, and that's not his problem. He is great nose for the ball.
Yeah, I just love his energy.
I love his energy. I love how he goes after the ball, no matter where it is. It's an underrated skill.
He knows his role, and he's making money right now. So
yeah, Oh my God, so many of these guys are writing themselves paychecks because the Cavs aren't going to carry this bloated roster, this bloated salary forever. Like that, there's going to come a point where, like, well, for one thing, like Jalen Tyson getting the production they're getting out of him on a rookie contract for the next three seasons is huge, right?
Yeah. You got me curious looking at their cap situation.
Yeah. What anybody else has been impressing you this year?
Sam Merrill, of course.
Well, I just mean around the NBA, but yeah, absolutely. Sam Merrill.
I mean around the NBA, Con, baby.
Who?
Go Duke. Con Knipple.
Oh, who's he play for?
The Hornets.
Oh, okay. I don't follow the Hornets much, so.
Well, yeah. Well, all you have to know is that LaMelo Ball wants out because he's already been usurped.
Really?
Yep.
Interesting.
Yep.
Well, we'll see what happens. Yep.
VJ, apparently it's been a home run draft class.
Oh, Derek Queen, no, there's so many good rookies this year.
Yeah, Derek Queen apparently is now balling out.
Oh, VJ Edgecombe. Yep.
Finally, Cooper Flagg is finally figuring things out, you know, after a rough start. But
well, one of the stupidest things was not putting a good guard around him.
Yeah, exactly. He's playing point guard, so, like, yeah.
it was so dumb. They should have went and got Chris Paul or somebody like that to just, you know, mentor those guys.
Yeah. No, but they got D'Angelo Russell. You don't trust his mentorship?
Well, of course, they kicked out Nico, and now Mark Cuban's back in the fold.
Good for him.
What a weasel.
Keep him out of politics, for God's sake.
Yeah, well, and then, of course, the other team. Well, and then you've got New Orleans, who I can't believe I took the over on New Orleans.
What were you?
Eli's already trying to trade for Herb Jones. That team is such a mess.
They got Derrick Queen, apparently. So.
Well, no, but the most hilarious thing about that team is the fans are actively booing their coach every night. You've got Jordan Poole. You've got Joe Dumars is so lazy. He just went and hired Troy Weaver to run the team.
God.
The guy.
Well, you know what's funny? Yeah. Someone, so shout out to Trill and the You Know Ball podcast. He did a little rundown of Troy Weaver's tenure in Detroit. What was interesting, I found what was interesting about it was he was a good drafter, but a horrible trade guy.
Exactly. No, I mean, he did have good draft. Beef stew.
There you go. Jalen, right? I think he got Durin, too.
Yeah, yeah. Durin and, I mean, Cade was no-brainer.
No-brainer.
But yeah, Jalen Duren was. I love Jalen Duren in that draft, but I was like, oh, they already got Jared Allen.
Come on, man! And now what you want? What is every text message? We need a big. Think of Jalen Duren with these guys.
Well, yeah, but they would have had to trade up to get into that spot, right?
I don't know. I don't remember.
Yeah. Well, now I could just look it up.
You could.
But yeah, I mean. it's funny. We've got a team that's 2-14 and a team that's 15-1.
Yeah, you know, it's someone said that, you know, there's a so do you think the smoothed out odds has increased or decreased or made tanking worse or better? And also the play-in. The play-in and the smoothing of the cap or the lottery odds. What do you think its impact has been?
I think it's made it worse.
Made tanking worse?
Yes. Because all these teams, they're like trying even harder to lose.
Right.
Like right. The Jazz are 5-10, right. Then they feel like they've won too many games.
Right. Right.
You know,
let's bring back Laurie. There's the, you want to know who the guy we need to bring back is. We need to bring back Laurie, or I'll take Filipowski.
I don't want Filipowski with his weird girlfriend.
Where's your, that's not, you know, you didn't have babysitter fantasies when you were a kid.
There's no good can come from me answering that question in any capacity. Release the files, Nate. No.
Oh my God.
I did not. I was a good young Christian man reading Chronicles of Narnia books.
So. Oh yes, I forgot. Yes, you were with no magic underwear either.
Anyway, the other team that I mean just is looking Vivek Ranadive for prison. Just what he's done to the Kings. I feel so bad for Kings fans. I mean,
I heard he was at some Trump round table. So.
Oh. Well, I have no comment on that, but yeah, like,
or crypto. It was crypto. Oh, I think God. It was a crypto conference.
I'm sorry.
Poor Kings.
Like, I just, they got a freaking reality TV star coaching their team now.
Yeah. Do you still want Sabonis?
I would love Sabonis. I think he would be great with the Cavs. I actually think he's kind of what they need, but he makes too much money. The only guy they can trade for him is Mitchell. So because they're over the second apron, he makes more than everybody on the team but Mitchell.
Oh, right.
They would have had to dump Garland before the season started to get under the second apron.
Right.
So
that's why.
Kind of who the Cavs are is who the Cavs are. Like,
they were committed. Yeah, right.
They're not going to have a lot of options.
Remember? Yeah. Yeah, it was when the second apron hit, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And honestly, I don't even see him picking up a veteran at the trade deadline unless they move some guys because they're going to have to give Naquan Tomlin a contract and roster him. So that's going to take him to 15.
Yep.
So,
and they better do it.
Oh, they'll do it. Like, he's what a steal that kid's looking like.
Mm-hmm.
Young man. That young man is looking like. Anyway.
25. He's still, he's a kid. You could be his father.
Shut up with your mouth.
you could.
Please stop. No, I mean, like,
man, that babysitter must have been really hot.
You're so weird. Here's the thing. I never had a hot babysitter because I was always in charge. Like, from when I was,
you were the babysitter.
From when I was 12 years old, I was taking care of everybody. I was forced to grow up too fast.
Mr. Mom.
I did a lot of taking care of my family.
You were the Mr. Mom who stepped up. God bless, man.
Yeah.
Hell yeah.
Grew up way too fast. Something. Goo Goo Dolls. I don't know. Anyway. I'm tired. Okay, buddy.
Yeah. Is that wrapping up? Yeah.
No. Well, okay, so what are you truly thankful for? And I want you to pitch something that you want people around Northeast Ohio or anywhere to support. Because we've had the conversation. It's going to be a really hard year and a really hard holidays for a lot of people this year. So we're kind of taking a step back and trying to do more for other people this year. So give me your pitches.
Well, I'm thankful for I'm thankful for, actually, it's going to sound weird, but I work with incredible people in the organizations that I'm involved in, and my bosses in the Christian Church Disciples of Christ. I'm going to give them a shout out. It's nice. And also my seminary colleagues, they're fantastic. Just a lot of people dedicated to doing good work and caring about people, which is not something that's exactly prioritized or lauded in our day and age, apparently, of social media or corrupt politicians or billionaire evildoers. So I want to give a shout out to my boss, Reverend Alan Harris. Give a shout out to ministers Alex Hack. Give a shout out to Crystal Grundy, Armando Perez, ministers that I know and friends with that are doing the work of taking care of people in their communities.
That's so awesome.
I'll do that since you made me be serious for a second. And to pitch locally, Second Harvest Food Bank. Second Harvest Food Bank is an organization that funds the pantry at our church, Christian Temple Food Pantry, every Wednesday, 9:30 a.m. to 10:30 a.m. in Lorain, Ohio. You can get 25 items in a to-go breakfast if you need it. We also have a walk-in pantry every second Wednesday of the month from 5:30 p.m. to 7 p.m. But it's supplied by Second Harvest Food Bank. And Second Harvest Food Bank right now is doing the holiday season drive. I made a commercial for our food pantry, so you might catch me on the airwaves and on local Cleveland radio.
Awesome.
So give to Second Harvest Food Bank. What their role is that they collect food from all the groceries and food distributors and just people who have food. They make sure they get it to organizations to get it to people at a low cost or for free. They do mobile food pantries. They do drive-through food pantries. They do delivery food pantry. So right now, every $1 you give to Second Harvest Food Bank goes to 6 meals to a family in need. So Second Harvest Food Bank of Greater Northeast Ohio. I don't know if it's Central Ohio or Cleveland. Those are probably the two main ones in the Northeast Ohio area. But what I can say is they've taken good care of us. They were actually a New Deal program. That's how they became a thing, was because when farmers couldn't get their product to people and food would spoil rotten, the government, the New Deal program that Franklin Delano Roosevelt started, facilitated making sure getting the food from farmers and grocers to people who need it so that it wouldn't go to waste. And 100 years later, here we are. We still have organizations doing the good work. So
that's Second Harvest
Food Bank. There you go.
That's awesome.
How about you, Nate?
Yeah. Well, I'm definitely going to pitch the Greater Cleveland Food Bank as well as the Akron Food Bank. I've volunteered more than a couple times at the Akron Food Bank, and awesome organization. I know there's a lot of fundraisers that go on right now where if you give, they'll match or double match. So, and then one of my local ones in West Michigan is Kids Food Bank. That's the one that I volunteer and give money with. And so I've got that. And then my cousin runs a charity in Uganda called Precious Ones Ministries. And I give quite a bit to that. But basically, we fund a school for about 200 to 300 kids that get to to school and get to have meals. The charity actually started, they taught Ugandan women how to sew their own sanitary napkins. Because a lot of women in that culture would literally drop out of school when they had their first, first period. And, so I thought that was pretty worthwhile. So I partnered with my cousin to help support this school. So Precious Ones Ministries, in Uganda, you can look it up. And I'm sure there's a ton of just worthy causes out there. So try and direct your charitable giving and volunteer efforts to where they'll do the most good for the most people that need them. So, and I am thankful for you guys, Cavs the Blog. I'm super thankful for Eli Kim. He's resting up somewhere, going through some recovery right now, and keep him in your thoughts and prayers. But he's doing good. He was bitching at us about the Cavs today, so we know he's okay.
Let's go, Eli. And curmudgeon.
And I was so blessed.
Is he sockless?
Is he sockless? Probably. I don't know. We got to ask. But you were catching the thread the other day. We were talking about making making himself a 7'2" Korean center.
Oh yeah,
with dragon tattoos on his forearms.
Yeah,
because the Cavs need some bulk.
That's right. Beware of the Eli Kim buyout candidate for the Cleveland Cavaliers coming to a arena near you.
It's gonna be like Tron Ares. They're just gonna digitize him out of the internet. Yeah. So,
okay,
yeah,
I cut you off. What were you saying?
Oh, I was saying, you know, I was super blessed. Like, we had this discussion with my kids on Friday about how kind of we're cutting way back on Christmas this year, and we're going to try and, you know, help people that need it because we're doing okay. And we know a lot of people who are going to need help. And not a word of complaint from my kids, more like, okay, what can we do to help? And they were thinking of all these ways to give back and volunteer, and like I was getting choked up just listening to him. Like,
well, they have a good dad, so
yeah, but he died, and so I got stuck with him. So,
okay, so call me weird, man. I don't know what that was about.
Oh, I'm just shitting you.
Yeah, I hope your daughters are gonna. You need to clip that for your daughters.
Oh, they just roll their eyes.
Exactly.
No, we have this whole thing. Like, I have they've invented this fake future for me where where Chris and I, my wife, we get divorced, and Chris goes to live in Ohio with her best friend, and I start dating a pickleball-loving woman named Trish, who has two sons, Lance and Remington.
Oh, my God.
And they're both gun nuts. And
oh, my God. This is, yeah. It's so far from the realm of plausibility.
Oh my gosh,
it's not
no,
even
and
close to reality.
Like we went to a high school sporting event the other day, and all I could tell my wife was, "There are so many Trishes here."
Oh my God, God love your wife. You're what people need to know about Nate and his family is they're a beautiful family.
Oh my Lord,
they are awesome. What a fan you are blessed, my friend.
Well, after her first husband died, she took me in, and I've been very blessed to be with this family. You know, he actually died. He was actually ran a clown college, and yeah, it was a brutal, just tragic rake accident. Just stepped right on a rake, cracked him right in the nose, just split his brain, just killed him. So, yeah, I stepped in to the breach.
People don't appreciate
and,
the courage it takes to work. Yeah,
it's weird seconds. The way the world works, you know.
Yeah, stranger yeah. things have happened.
You know, yeah, one day you're jerking off to the Chronicles of Narnia, and the next day you're just raising a family wow. that some other wow. guy followed.
In your magic fathered, underwear. So. Jesus Christ. Well. Oh, happy okay. Thanksgiving, y'all.
Happy Thanksgiving. Go Cavs.
Go Cavs.
Oh, my God. Yeah, and how fun. Do I stop this stupid podcast?
At least we had fun.
We did.
Thank you for listening to Cavs the Blogs podcast. Check back soon for some more fun with your favorite blogger. There's a fire.
Marriott Bonvoy is the official hotel partner of US Soccer. Join Marriott Bonvoy today to get closer to the game with exclusive perks, unforgettable experiences, and benefits that go beyond the pitch. Spring Hill Suites, part of Marriott Bonvoy, offers complimentary hot breakfast and spacious all-suite accommodations, perfect for the whole team, with room for up to 6 guests. Make your next getaway a win. Learn more at springhillsuites.marriott.com.
This isn't just a game, it's a once-in-a-generation event. The Harlem Globetrotters 100-year tour. Celebrate 100 years of high-flying dunks, 100 years of show-stopping moves, and 100 years of changing the game. Bring the whole family and be part of the legacy. This game is once in a century. Be there at Schottenstein Center on December 27th. Go to harlemglobetrotters.com for your tickets to the 100-year tour.